How's everyone doing? Hey, I know there are some folks who are new, and if so, welcome, glad you're here. This is actually a good Sunday to be here because we're wrapping up a series that we've been doing called Stormproof, looking at the different storms in our lives and how to respond to them. And so now you'll be all ready next week, come next week as we kick off a new series. Well, I want to start by letting you know I love stories. I love stories. I think it's why I like movies. It's why I like comedy. It's why I love to read. And I'm up really for any kind of story, but I really enjoy true stories. If I'm watching a movie and the phrase, based on a true story, comes on the screen, I just get a little more excited, kind of like, you know, on the edge of my seat. Like, I don't know why. Maybe it's like, okay, this matters, this happened. I don't know. But one of the authors I love to read is John Krakauer. I don't know if anybody's read in any of his books. He's written many, many books. But I want to highlight four of them. One of the first ones I read was called Into the Wild. And it was about an affluent 20-something-year-old, or actually his parents were affluent, but a 20-something-year-old who just wanted to experience a new way of living. So he gave all of his possessions to charity, hitchhiked to Alaska, actually burned any remaining cash that was in his pocket, and then he walked into the wild, into the Alaska wilderness. Spoiler alert, it doesn't end up well for him, but it's a fascinating read. He also wrote Into Thin Air, which is the story of his actual ascent up Mount Everest. Fascinating story, particularly because on this trip, there was a major storm, and so it describes how he and his team got through it. Storm actually claimed the lives of 5 people, so it's a riveting read. Under the Banner of Heaven, another book that he wrote, this describes an isolated group of Mormons, and it focuses on the stories of murder within this group, polygamy within this group, cult-like personalities, and just like, what is faith and religion? So, you know, it was fascinating. And then this is heart-wrenching for anyone, particularly a dad who has girls in college. A book called Missoula, which tells the heart-wrenching stories of date rape that happened nationally, but focused on this one campus in particular, where over the years, hundreds of incidents went ignored or were mishandled by the school. I like to read uplifting stories, don't I? Yeah. This summer, I read a couple. One was called Left to Tell, and while this is about the Rwandan genocide, it was actually a uplifting story because it told the story of one woman's faith as she trusted God through this horrific event. And then a book I just finished, it's called Blood Brothers, and it's the story of a Palestinian Christian working for peace in Israel. So, you know, I love stories. I love stories. There's another genre of story, though, a children's story or fairy tale. And it's got a specific formula. Fairy tales begin with once upon a time, and then they conclude with, and they lived happily ever after. And I'm fine with that formula. Sometimes you just need things wrapped up nice and neat, so everything's taken care of. I'm okay with that. And it's the way I felt when I watched the movie The Equalizer. Any Denzel Washington fans here? Man, there was so much going on with the characters. I was begging for a nice, happy ending, and everything got resolved. I was like, whew, that was good. And then Equalizer 2 came out, and I had to go through all that again. But I prefer when authors or directors actually leave you hanging. I like the mystery. I like the tension. I got that in another movie called The Accountant. Ben Affleck, he seems to like resolve everything, but then he drives off, and I was like, but what happened? Like, what happened next? But there's that mystery and there's that tension, and while I was frustrated, I like that. I like it because It reflects life. We don't always get things all wrapped up in pretty boxes in life, do we? Because the reality is, in the world we live, marriages fail. Houses are foreclosed. Floodwaters rise. Disease spreads. Gossip infects. People die. This is the world in which we live. The Bible tells stories of reality. The Bible actually is a love story. It's a love story. It's about an all-powerful God who creates humans and everything these humans would ever need. And it's amazing. It starts fairy tale-esque. Right? God creates them. God loves them. They love God until an outside force, Satan, comes in and whispers to these humans that you don't really need God. In fact, you can be like God if you do these things. And so there were enough lies wrapped around the truth that they were deceived and they chose to give in. And they got exactly what they thought they wanted. They were separated from God until they discovered that we're not like God in the way we had imagined, and we've been lied to. And we want things to go back the way they were. And that sounds like life as well, doesn't it? Either we ignore God and we live life on our own until we realize that the path that we're blazing, right, we're going this way, is a dead end. Or as we're climbing the ladder of success, we discover the ladder never ends, and so we're tired. Or when we finally get to the top of the ladder, we realize it's not what I expected. The ladder is actually leaning against the wrong wall the whole time. And so we're stuck. It sounds like us, doesn't it? Or either maybe we ignore God and we seek to live life on our own until we realize that we are doubting God's reliability. We're doubting his faithfulness. We look at how others are getting ahead, and they look so happy. Reality is they are not. But we give up what we know to be true to pursue what they're doing, trying to be happy. And we find out, as we sin, that, you know what, sin is actually fun for a season. Some of the seasons are short, some of the seasons are longer, but they're always seasonal. The fun always comes to an end. And then we look and see how far off the path, God's path, we've strayed, and we wonder, is there any way back to God? Well, there's always a way back to God. Because remember, the Bible is a love story. In Luke's gospel, Luke is one of Jesus' followers, so in his biography of Jesus' life, he tells the story of the prodigal son, or you could say the story of the wasteful son, the story of the extravagant son. And this story is about a young man who demands his inheritance while his father is still living. He gets it, and he squanders it on wild living and ultimately regrets his decision. He turned his back on his father. But in the story, he discovers that his father never turned from him. It's a description of God's forever love for us. There's another character in the Bible named Peter. Peter denied Jesus 3 different times. And Peter was one of Jesus' 12 disciples. In fact, you could say he was actually in his elite group. He was one of 3 that spent extra time with Jesus. And when Jesus needed Peter most, Peter faithfully denied Jesus. But Jesus never stopped believing in Peter. And when Jesus was raised from the dead, which blew Peter's mind, when that happened, Jesus loved him, forgave him, and made him a leader in the church. So the Bible is filled with stories of hope. And it's why we can have hope. Many of you already know this, but I struggle with depression. And I can remember before I did anything about it. I remember before I went to a therapist or before I eventually went to a psychiatrist for meds that I didn't take for a long time. I can remember exactly, I picture it right now in my head, exactly where I was in my bedroom, in our apartment, on the 23rd floor, fighting to get out of bed. And I finally got out of bed, and I just remember how terrible I felt, how alone I felt, how overwhelmed I felt, how, insert your negative description here, I felt. And in the midst of that emotional pain, in the midst of that despair, with all these messages of anger and hatred in my head, there was just this little speck of hope where I sensed that God was with me. Just this little speck. I could care less at the time. I just decided to go back into bed. But still, I had that speck of hope. I knew God was with me. The Bible is filled with examples of God's faithfulness. It's filled with examples of God's grace. He gives this grace to people and to groups of people who don't deserve it. But he does that because he loves them. He does that because he loves us. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Paul is writing a letter to the church in Rome, and he says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, that's significant. It doesn't say God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that once we got our acts together and lived faithfully for 21 days and accomplished all of these things, Christ died for us. No, no. While we were still sinners. Amen. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's significant. You and I can have that same kind of hope found in the Bible. Because what we read in the Bible is actually written for us. It was written thousands of years ago, but it was written for us. And while the events of our lives today will never be added into the pages of the Bible, we are living in the timeline of the Bible. See, the Bible's very first words, if you open a Bible, very first words, there's the printing information, I understand. So to flip through those page table of contents, okay. But here, boom, Genesis, the first book, the very first words. In the beginning, once upon a time, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is the beginning of God's story. And then if you flip to the end, there's the maps, there's concordance, kind of go past that. The last chapter in the Bible, the last verse, the Revelation chapter 22. Verse 21 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. Amen. Once upon a time, and they lived happily ever after. The Bible is not a fairy tale. The Bible is a true story. But God has a beginning for his creation, and there is an end to what we're experiencing now, which opens a whole new chapter. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Everything is that what happens to us is within the timeline of the Bible story. So here's what I want you to know. Each of us can face our fear, can face our anxiety, can face our storms, can face chaos, whatever it is. Each of us can face these things and deal with them by remembering two things. The first, God wins. God wins. I've read the book, and we're going to look at some cool verses that further explain that. But God wins. But the second thing to know is we are with God. So we win. God wins, and we're with God, and so we win. So let me ask you a question. Before we look at these verses, you don't have to raise your hand, but just think through these questions. Is there anyone here in pain? Maybe it's physical pain. Maybe it's emotional pain. Maybe it's relational pain. Is there anyone here who is scared? Is there anyone here who is anxious? Is there anyone here who is depressed? Is anyone here biting their nails so much because of the anxiety within? Is there anyone here that has begun to steal from time to time just to make sure you have enough? Is there anyone here cheating here and there just to make sure that you succeed? Anyone here drinking or smoking something just to calm your nerves or to deaden the pain that you feel? How about, are you in and out of relationships because you just want to feel loved? You just want to be accepted? Or is there anybody working more than they should just because they want some approval? I could go on and on with that, couldn't I? But here's the reality. We can face these things by remembering God is the God wins and that we're with God. Here's what I'd love to do. Preetha, if you could put a stopwatch up there. Good. So this is our pain. Something happens in our life. And our question is, how long is this going to last? When is this going to end? Whatever the pain is, whatever the anxiety, the fear, when is this going to end? And we just look at the clock and 17. Oh my goodness. And does that mean 17 seconds? Preetha, go ahead, let's stop that. And so we're at 26. 26 is going to last. Is that 26 seconds? Is that 26 minutes? Okay, that was kind of a doozy of a moment. You know, is it 26 hours? Whew, that was a heck of a day. Is it 26 days? Man, I'm glad that month's over. Is it 26 months? Is it 26 years? Some of you are in your 20s and you've had some challenging things for the last 3, 6, 9 months. And you're wondering, when is it going to end? Some of you are in your 60s. You know, and maybe you were born with some kind of disease and you've been living with this for 60 some odd years. And you're wondering, when will this end? Here's the deal. It will end. We're going to look at some verses where God shows us that the end for our pain, the end for our anxiety, the end for our chaos is coming. We don't know when that is. God knows. So there is an end. But let's look at, Preetha, let's restart that. I want you to look at time differently. When you're experiencing chaos, when you're experiencing challenges, when you're just searching for some peace and the clock's ticking and you're wondering, how long is this going to last? Don't think that. Because you know it's going to end. Instead, think, how long am I going to live with God without pain, without fear, without loss? Because I'm going to show you some verses that show that is our future. If you are a believer in Jesus, this is our hope. This is our future. There may be pain and suffering now that will come to an end. But time, let's think of time differently. Like, wow, this is the beginning. This is going to end, but there will be a day when all this is gone that will last forever. Let me show you some of these verses. We're going to look at the Revelation chapter 21. We're going to keep that clock ticking on there for the rest of this service because I just want you to have a constant visual. Not that pain lasts so long, but God's love, mercy, healing, wholeness, joy, peace will just keep going forever and ever. Let's look at chapter 21, verse 1. John is writing. John is on a deserted island of Patmos. Basically his prison, right? They kick him off the mainland and say, you're just going to go live the rest of your life. You know, you love this God stuff? Great. Go write your letters out there. And just a little side note, October 2019, our church is going to do a trip to Greece, the Journeys of Paul. We're going to go to this island, the island of Patmos. And then next spring, actually March 2019, Pastor Steve's leading another trip to Israel. So these things are coming. But John is having a vision from God, and this is what he's writing. He says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Okay? There's going to be an end to the pain and suffering. The first earth has passed away. And there was no longer any sea. Now, let me just pause there. Seems like an odd expression. No longer any sea. We enjoy the water, right? We enjoy going to the beach, water sports. You know, even I can't be on the water very long without feeling a little like this. And so, you know, I go for a little while, and then I get off, and I'm on the land, and I look at the water. But it's beautiful. We have, there's waterfront properties that are extremely valuable. People take cruises. The water is an amazing thing. But God's given John this vision because for people from the ancient world, the sea was scary. The sea was dark. The sea was mysterious. The sea was a dangerous place. And if you are from Israel, the sea is where the Philistines came. Right? They were a seafaring people. So if they're looking out on the sea, here they come. Here comes our enemies. So the sea was a dangerous place. So this was God's way of saying, hey, I've got the details covered. I'm going to protect you from all your fears. Now, some of you are like, hey, wait a second. I like the water. Don't worry. God's got some water for you too, all right? But he's communicating to Israel that I got your back. Verse 2, John writes, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So he's saying it's a new Jerusalem. It looks just like Jerusalem, but it's different. It's Jerusalem, but newer. He's trying to put this into words. He says, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. So John's saying, I'm seeing the city and it's stunning. It is beautiful. Now, I have a sense of this. My wife is beautiful. When I saw her for the first time in her wedding dress, my knees buckled. I lost air. It's like, oh my goodness. This is what John is saying. Oh my goodness, it's spectacular. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. In other words, we're going to be with God. Let me just show you another verse real fast. Romans 8, verses 15 to 17. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he's talking about this Holy Spirit, that when they became believers, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And he says, the Spirit you received, it doesn't make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And he goes on, now if we are children, then we are heirs. This is crazy, but this is true. We are heirs. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. What? I didn't write that in there. This is the Bible. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So share in his suffering, it probably refers to persecution, but it can also include general hardship. And when he writes, if indeed we share, in the Greek language, it's like saying, since we share, since this happens, since we are experiencing challenges in life, difficulty, then we will share in God's glory. All right, so back to Revelation. Here's where it gets amazing. Cities coming down. Verse 4. He, God, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Crying, mourning, pain, death. That's old news, he's saying. We're moving that out. That's old. That's passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, this is God speaking, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. All right, right there, that's a mic drop moment for God right there. He's like, write these things down. Done. God out, right? He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. This is what we have to look forward to. Yes, there are storms in this life, and yes, there is pain in this life, but that will come to an end. The other side, no tears, no mourning, no death, no end. That will keep ongoing. We can face our fears. We can face our anxiety, and we can face the chaos in life by remembering two things. God wins, and we are with God. Now, here's what's difficult. If you're from New York and you're like me and you're a skeptic, here's what's difficult. If God wins in the end, why doesn't he win a little bit now? Why can't we get some of that now? Who says he's not winning now? Who says he's not using your pain for good? Yeah, I told you I struggle with depression, but let me back up further. I used to be a school teacher, and so this was the early 90s, and this is when prescription medications were really just starting to happen. And they were throwing them out like Skittles to teens. Right? They were just trying all these medications. And I was this ignorant, arrogant kid, school teacher, who would see these kids on medication and think, I never said these. These were never my words. But in my mind, I'm like, come on. You don't need meds. You need to suck it up. You need to work harder. You know what? You need Jesus. I just, even now, saying those things, I just get chills of how wrong I was. And God, 15 years later, had me not being able to get out of bed and realizing, oh my goodness, like, this is real. I work hard. I do all of these things. I love Jesus, and I cannot get out of my bed. I'll tell you right now, and I've talked to a lot of you, if you are someone that struggles with depression or any kind of mental challenges, illness, etc., you will find a very compassionate person right here. I was not like that 20 or more years ago. I was arrogant, cocky, and wrong. But God has used that pain as a win in my life. I took my meds this morning. I still take them. But God has given me hope, and God has given me life, and I love speaking that life into people. So who knows what God is going to do with your pain right now? And if you want more than that, like, okay, give me more. Help me know why we have pain in the world. I can give you a three-word answer. I don't know. I don't know why it continues to exist. Obviously, there's an enemy in the world, and obviously, it's going to come to an end. Why we experience it, I don't know. But let me share this verse with you. Psalm 115, it's one of my favorite verses. Psalm 115:3 says, our God is in heaven, and he does whatever pleases him. I don't have all the answers. God does. I choose to trust God in the midst of pain, anxiety, chaos, that it's not going to last forever, that he's going to use this for good somehow, and there's going to be a day when it's gone. There's an old-time Bible teacher named J. Vernon McGee who wrote a little commentary on that verse. My God is in heaven, he does whatever pleases him. He wrote this. Let me remind you that this is God's universe, and he's doing things his way. You may think you have a better way, but you don't have a universe. Let me just tell you one more story. It's about a couple named Bill and Gail Kupek. This is an amazing couple. Bill, both of them very strong, but just focusing on Bill. Strong man, physically and spiritually. Like a spiritual giant actually has made a significant difference in the lives of people in our church. There was one gentleman in the first service, direct impact in his life. Bill was one of seven boys. I'm sorry, one of seven kids, one of five boys. And these boys were competitive, fierce competitors. All right, first of all, just some context. Bill ended up playing college baseball and college basketball. So he was the real deal as an athlete. One of his brothers, one of the other four brothers got drafted into the NFL. One of them got signed as a free agent into the NFL. One of them was drafted into the NBA. So these were serious competitors, you know, growing up. In his late 40s, however, Bill was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And in a short span of time, 18-month period, he went from 200 pounds to 130 pounds. He went from being a leader of leaders to breathing through a ventilator, eating through a feeding tube, and having 24-hour nursing care. Now, I had the privilege, and it truly was a privilege, to know them before Bill passed away. This is about 3-4 years ago now. And Bill could no longer communicate through words. He couldn't do it. But he could communicate. He would blink, and his wife had this machine that would, the blinkings represented different letters, and he would form words there. As you would imagine, a conversation took a long time. And I remember asking him about this experience and what God, how he just felt about God through all of this, because he was such a strong believer. He said something so meaningful to me that I shared with my wife that Janine actually wrote it on a card and put it on her kitchen window. So here's our kitchen window, just a lot of little notes that Janine has accumulated. But if you zoom in, one of those is what Bill said. When I asked him about this, he said, "This is my prayer every day. God is God. I am not. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Folks, pain is temporary. Joy is eternal. People die. God's promises never fail. Each of us, we can face fear by remembering two things. God wins, and we are with God. Let me close with two next steps I want to encourage you to take. The first, write this down, Colossians 3:1-4. It's not going to be on the screen. I'm going to read it to you. But this is a verse I'd love for you to read this week. Colossians 3:1-4. If you're new to the Bible, it's in the New Testament. It's towards the end. Here's what it says. "Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven," Paul writes, "not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory." Think new thoughts. Instead of that clock going like, "How long is this going to last?" Let that pain remind you that, you know what? God's going to use this and it will end. And when it does, the hope, the joy, the healing, the peace, the love, it's still going, isn't it? It's never going to end. One more thing. There's, I don't know if you've heard of Right Now Media. It's a subscription service, kind of like a Netflix for Christian Bible studies. They don't really have movies. They do have some short films, but it's a collection of hundreds, probably thousands of Bible studies that you have access to because our church has paid a subscription. So as a member, as an attender, as someone who showed up today, you have access to this. And I just, you know, there's thousands of them. This is one called "The Struggle is Real." It's actually a six session Bible study where she teaches for probably like 15 minutes, you know, six different times. But you can go through this, type in any topic, and find tons of stuff. Here's what you do. If you don't already have access to it, email our office. office@shelterrockchurch.com. It's probably on the back of your bulletin. office@shelterrockchurch.com, and just say, hey, I want Right Now Media, and they'll give you a password and help you log in. Fill your mind with truth. What does God say? What does God want me to do? How does God want me to think and act, etc.? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for being a God who is with us, who loves us, who never leaves us. And God, we are with you, but there actually may be some people here who are saying, you know what, how can I be with God? How can I know I'm with God? Folks, if that's you, just pray a prayer like this. It's so simple. God, forgive me. I ask that Jesus would come into my life and that I would follow him. I know Jesus is the one that will forgive me and will lead me. Help me to follow you. Amen. Folks, God wins, and we are with God.